welcome to the Buckmaster Show for this Monday, April 23rd, 2012. Is it hot enough for you? Yes, we hit 100 degrees, the second earliest on record. I think it was shortly after 2 o'clock yesterday afternoon, hit 100 degrees. You know what they say here in southern Arizona, once it hits 100, what's the difference if it's a couple of degrees either way, right?
Right.
I am Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, and we simulcast on KAPR AM 930 in Douglas. We live stream the show at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com, and you can hear our programs on any one of three sites: my website, buckmastershow.com, tucsonsentinel.com, and TucsonCitizen.com. Had a Facebook comment today, someone saying, well, they won't let me listen to your show live during the noon hour at work. We can't listen to shows. So my reply, by about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, we'll have the show. Our fabulous producer, Rosemary Brandt, will have the show posted to one of those three websites. We get things rolling here. We are live Monday through Friday, noon to 1. We have the Monday Political Face-Off today featuring commentators Bruce Ash and Paul Eckerstrom. There are lots to talk about. 30 minutes past the hour, Paul Cunningham, Tucson City Councilman, says, please give me a listen on resurrecting the arena idea. Then we'll close out with Dr. Mark Sykes, head of the Tucson-based Planetary Science Institute, which is celebrating its 40th anniversary this Thursday night with a gala at the Westward Look Hotel. And I will be proud to say part of, I guess, the entertainment at the event Thursday night. We encourage you to be a part of the show. You can call us at 790-2040. Email your questions at buckmastershow.com. Submit them using the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. Every Monday, we get things rolling with our teams of commentators. This week, it is Bruce Ash, Republican National Committeeman for Arizona, and Paul Eckerstrom, who's the vice chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. The Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, hanging services, and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. Moe and his team, Corinne, his lovely daughter, who is does such a great job. What a beautiful job, Bruce Ash, they did on a piece that I had framed for them.
Everything they do there, particularly those, big pieces.
Yeah, this was a big piece. Yeah,
it's almost, it could just as easily hang in a museum. He does work.
Yeah. Paul Eckerstrom, attorney, I guess it's Nicholas Fontana, will replace former state Representative Daniel Patterson, who resigned earlier this month, the Pima County Board of Supervisors. It was a 3-2 vote. The two Republicans, Ray Carroll and Ann Day, voting for Mr. Fontana, along with Democrat Sharon Bronson. You know Nick Fontana.
Yeah, I know Nick. And he was in law school when I was in law school. He also, at one time, worked in his college days with Mo Udall as an intern. With Congressman Udall, and he's an independent. He's pretty much always been an independent, but he leans enough Democratic that I'm happy with that choice. And frankly, that's a good choice. He's kind of got a similar profile in terms of where he's coming from on issues as Daniel Patterson. So I think it was a good choice.
And Bruce Ash, you do not know Mr. Fontana.
I don't. I don't know him at all, and I'm sure he'll do a fine job. And if I could, Bill, before we get started on some other topics today, just really praise Police Chief Villasenor and his team of officers and staff who are in the middle of searching for this poor little girl who may have been abducted on Friday night. Everybody in the world who knows about this is praying for her recovery and return to her family. This is just a tragic, tragic thing. We learned earlier this afternoon that there are well over a dozen sex offenders who live within a real short perimeter of their home, and you know, you just hope something awful hasn't happened. But we all have our fingers crossed, and we're praying for her return to her family.
Yeah, and young Isabella, 250 police officers and lots of volunteers spent the weekend looking around there, and the FBI has been brought in at Paul Eckerstrom, and it's you just hate to hear about these cases.
No, absolutely. I have kids of my own, and I just don't know what would happen in terms of the way I would feel if something like that happened to one of my children.
Well, and kudos to Chief Villasenor, because I guess he's sort of knocked heads with the FBI, wanting to make sure that you know, all resources are being used in order to recover this little girl.
You know, this is where social media really can play a part. Looking at Facebook over the weekend, just about it seemed, Bruce Ash, like every other post had a picture of Isabella up there.
Yeah, I mean, I use social media myself now more than ever before, and it is an amazing thing just to get, you know, an image, an idea out so that people can be aware, because, you know, we sometimes are so locked into our insular world, we just don't know. And, you know, they catch so many times criminals by sort of these off sort of things that happen. It was just a coincidence, and let's hope that it's just another one of those coincidences that find this little girl.
And you do use Facebook quite a bit, Mr. Ash, and I want to talk a little bit about you've posted just this morning about Ron Barber, congressional candidate, Democrat, in the special CD8 race. You're not convinced that he is sincere about his calls for reform of Obamacare.
Look, Ron Barber was in back of Congresswoman Giffords on Obamacare from the very, very beginning. Same thing with cap and trade. But specifically to Obamacare, he went to town halls. He developed all the information. He briefed the congresswoman. He was this was right in his wheelhouse. He supported it. And really, even up until a couple of months ago, February 9th, I believe, he was strongly in favor of all of these policies that Congresswoman Giffords had advocated for. And now that he wants to get elected, he's having an epiphany of sorts, and frankly, I doubt it. This is the same man who said he wasn't going to run in CD2, and that was the first promise he broke. These are the second and third.
Paul Eckerstrom, you have said before that you think Ron Barber is an outstanding candidate for this district.
Yeah, I mean, Ron goes way back, deep roots in this community. He, in government, worked for disabled children. In private industry, he had a store for baby accoutrement resale for 22 years with his wife, so he understands small businesses and what they go through. Even though I know Bruce attacks him for that, I don't know why, because he has run a small business.
Do you think that Ron was collecting his full government salary while he was also running a business?
Bruce, I don't know why you always have to attack people for doing good things and having a good resume, but you know, I understand you want them to lose. But the other thing is, name one
reason that would make him fit to serve in Congress, besides the fact that he was at a crime scene a year and a half ago.
Okay, now let's let Paul finish.
You know, the man has done an outstanding job trying to heal this community after that great tragedy by creating a foundation for civil discourse. Maybe Bruce should take some pointers from that. And the other thing is
perhaps the chairman of the Democrat Party should, or David Fitzsimmons,
right,
who writes in the Arizona Daily Star.
You can have all the time you want.
No.
Here,
Paul.
You just talk.
No, go ahead, Paul.
Well, go on with the Civility Institute, Paul.
Go ahead. Yeah,
because he hasn't
said
a word.
There is something called civility in terms of not interrupting.
Let him finish for a few moments at least here, Bruce.
And, you know, in terms of Obamacare, I think everybody understands a large legislation like this, and this happened with Medicare and Social Security down the road, you have to make changes as you go, as you see problems cropping up. And he's not saying throw this out. It's a good thing. It makes sure people with pre-existing conditions can get insurance. It makes sure that you're not thrown off the rolls and go bankrupt when you hit a certain lifetime cap on insurance. It is a lot of good things in this bill that people really like. The problem is as every large piece of legislation, down the road you need to make tweaks and changes to make it better. And that's, I think, what Ron is saying, not to throw this out. He's not agreeing with the Republicans that this should be gone. And I think Ron is a responsible person to say that.
So he's still for Obamacare is what you're saying?
Yeah, I don't think he's calling for it to be repealed.
Paul's calling for tweaks.
Yeah, changes to make it better.
So sort of like Nancy Pelosi when she said we have to pass the bill so we know what's in it. Now that we know what's in it, the Supreme Court's against it, 60% of the public's against it, and the overwhelming majorities that the president talked about receiving and the special tricks that he had to use from the standpoint of procedures to get it passed, these are all reasons that we should have Obamacare. Well, I'm glad that Ron Barber is in favor of it,
Bruce,
because I think that defines him.
Bruce, pure and simple, I think, you've heard me say this before, I'd rather have national health insurance. So if Obamacare gets struck down by the Supreme Court, I'm happy, because then the only recourse we have to actually have decent health care in this country is national health insurance, and it'll eventually happen.
So what alternatives would Congressman Ron Barber provide if Obamacare was struck down, or if the individual mandate was struck down, which is essentially the whole funding source for Obamacare? How would you think Congressman Ron Barber might tweak the bill in order to make it more effective in the future?
Bruce, I don't know. You'd have to talk to him. But let me tell you something. The individual mandate that is part of the Obamacare that's so unpopular. Everything else is very popular about it. That is a Republican idea pushed by the Republicans for 30 years. The Heritage Foundation, a conservative think tank, came up with it. Bob Dole pushed it back in the early 90s. And frankly, Bob Dole supported this bill in its entirety when it came to the House and the Senate this year.
This is the most unpopular piece of legislation that has been passed the last half century.
The mandate's unpopular, and it's a Republican idea. So why don't you own it?
All right. We're going to take a break right here. 12:16 on the Buckmaster Show. This is the Monday Political Face-Off. Bruce Ash is seated to the right of me and Paul Eckerstrom to the left. We'll continue with the Monday Political Face-Off. Arizona, now a toss-up state, according to one political news service. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Everyone is switching to high-efficiency appliances because they have money, and a Culligan high-efficiency water softener does the same. But did you know that you can rent rather than buy? Think about it. No equipment to pay for upfront, money-saving purchase options if you change your mind, and service calls are included in the rental rate. In fact, you'll never have to pay for another water softener, ever. So now you can get all the benefits of soft water for less when you rent from Culligan. Imagine a spot-free home, softer skin, and brighter laundry for dollars a day. Even better, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy, plus helps all your appliances last longer. Let your Culligan man take care of your water when you rent the world's most efficient water softener. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Augustus Paris Antiques is a very special place for the discriminating antique collector, specializing in one-of-a-kind pieces of 19th century to mid-20th century European antique furniture and objects of art. Owner Roberta Franzheim has a great eye for quality and lasting appeal. Augustus Paris Antiques is located at 2522 East Fort Lowell, just east of the intersection of Fort Lowell and Tucson Boulevard. Augustus Paris Antiques, 289-5181.
Two of the world's largest pharmaceutical giants, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, know where bio works. It works at Innovation Park in Oro Valley, one of the 10 best towns for families, according to Family Circle magazine. Bioscience and bioindustry working together at Innovation Park with 275 acres of inspiring environment ready for biodevelopment. Learn more about where bio works at innovationparkaz.com.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for fresh and healthy pizzas, pastas, paninis, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is handcrafted using the finest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore's award-winning wood-fired pizzas, certified authentic by the world-renowned Verace Pizza Napolitana Academy, is pizza perfection. Vero Amore, North Swan at Camp Lowell, and in Marana at Dove Mountain, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com and on Facebook.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in Southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencium and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It's the Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com, specializing in all sorts of custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging systems, and hanging services. This is a family-run organization, great group of people doing great work since 1985. Let's go to the Buckmaster Show live line. We have Paul Eckerstrom with us and Bruce Ash. Go ahead, Daniel. You're with us.
Thank you. I would like to have a Democrat candidate that I can vote for that has a record in either city, county, state government that I can understand who he is and who I'm voting for. This guy seems like he's just come out of nowhere, and I don't know what he. What experience he has or what his values are. Could you answer that for me, please?
Well, Daniel, really neither of the candidates, Jesse Kelly or Ron Barber, have ever been elected to office. Is that correct?
They haven't been elected to office, yeah. But Ron has a lifetime of experience in government. He not only worked for Gabby Giffords for all this time, but before that he worked in state government running the programs for disabled children. And the other thing is he's also got experience in the private sector running a private business, a store, small business, for 22 years with his wife. So I think Ron's got great experience to bring to the table. And, yeah, he hasn't been elected to anything, but he certainly knows how government works and how private industry works.
Ron Barber does have a record. He's been the district director for Congresswoman Giffords' office now for 5-plus years, and specifically the last year, probably 9 months since he recovered from his injuries, Ron Barber has been really the person in charge of running the district office for Congresswoman Giffords. And during that time, let me give you two areas where he has distinguished himself, and he does have a record. Number one, on the F-35 training program, Ron Barber and the CD8 office has been absolutely nowhere with respect to standing up for that program, trying to get that program based at Tucson International Airport. Number two, and this is something where people's lives are being directly impacted in part of the district. In Tombstone, Arizona, after the Monument Fire, a number of the water resource supplies that they have had claims on, have relied upon since the 1880s, was destroyed. The U.S. Forest Service has frustrated their attempt to restore their full water status with some of their crazy regulatory rules. Congresswoman Gifford's office, led by Ron Barber, did so little to help out the town of Tombstone that it was necessary for the mayor and the town council to enlist the Goldwater Institute to file suit against the U.S. Forest Service, and still there's no action from the office that Ron Barber has run now for almost a year.
Understand this. Ron Barber was doing district office work for Gabrielle Giffords, and that office was considered the best office in terms of constituency services in the country.
Yeah, they won a lot of kudos in that area.
Yeah, yeah. And frankly, I think you know the criticisms that Bruce is bringing up pales in comparison to all the good that that office has done for people in Southern Arizona. Paul, and you just ask any of the constituents that office has helped. It's been an amazing
story.
You
can say all you want. I've given you two specifics that are major things here in Southern Arizona. One that affects 1,000 jobs and the other that affects thousands of lives directly, and you don't have an answer for it.
How long – the caller did not want to go on the air, but perhaps Paul can answer this or maybe Bruce can. How long has Ron Barber worked in government or been a government employee is the question.
Well, I don't know the exact number of years. I know prior to working for Gabrielle Giffords since 2006, Ron had been a director of the state agency that deals with disabled children, and I think that's a laudable thing that he did for many years. I don't know the exact number of years, and the other thing is he has run a small business for 22 years, and I think melding those two things together gives him great experience in terms of being a congressman, because he's been involved with state government, involved in the federal government, and involved with private businesses, and he's had to make payroll. He's had to deal with regulations as a small business owner, as well as been on the other side on dealing with working in government.
Ron Barber has been one of these faceless bureaucrats that most people dislike intensely. The same kind of faceless bureaucrats at the U.S. Forest Service who have tried to frustrate the citizens in Tombstone trying to restore their water rights.
All right.
And I think if that's what you're hanging his qualifications, you know, for Congress, you're sorely mistaken.
Faceless bureaucrat.
And the voters know that.
Faceless bureaucrat who dedicated his career to disabled children.
I think it's great
children.
That he did.
I mean, come on, Bruce.
Sure, it's great. But how does that make him fit to be a congressman? We're going to decide. Don't interrupt me. We're going to have a vote before this election in November to increase the debt limit. How do you think Ron Barber's going to vote on that? And what would give him the qualifications to make
about,
an opinion
about,
one way or the other?
What about Jesse Kelly? What has he really done? You know, he's worked for his father's business.
I've worked for
my father's
business for the last 35 years. Does that make me unqualified?
We had a caller wondering what kind of business, small business, did Ron Barber, was he involved in? And from his website for 22 years, it says, Nancy and I owned and operated a business called Toy Traders Stork's Nest, where families could trade and buy children's toys, clothing, and equipment. And they had two locations with 20 employees. So that answers that for that caller. Quickly, gentlemen, we're running out of time, but Arizona is now, at least by one political blogging service, we're now a toss-up state. Reaction, Paul Eckerstrom?
Yeah, I think it really is. Behooves the Obama campaign to actually come into Arizona and work hard for it, because of the reaction the people are having to very, very extreme policies that state legislature has done over the last 4 or 5 years. I think it creates an opportunity for Obama to come in here and get independents and more moderate folks to vote his way and vote the Democratic way. And the other thing is demographics are in our favor. I mean, the Hispanic population is growing, and the voting block in that block is heavily in favor of Obama, and I think it gives him a real chance of winning Arizona.
There are a lot of extreme things that the state legislature did, like turn around a $3 billion deficit that a Democrat governor left us. And moderates, as you say, have all benefited from that. Paul, the Democrat Party is now the number three party in Arizona. And in the last elections, independents voted for those same extremist Republicans that you call them by a 2-to-1 margin. I hope the Obama 2012 campaign spends a ton of money in Arizona in the upcoming election and wastes it so they don't have it to spend in North Carolina, Wisconsin, Michigan, Ohio, et cetera.
When you slash public education for 8 years running, increase tuition rates at the state universities, all to give tax cuts to wealthy people
and
in
the turned
state,
around a
and
$3
hurt
billion
the middle
dollars.
Class economic opportunity for their kids. That's what is going to give them a chance.
Paul Eckerstrom, Bruce Ash, thank you both very much for being on the Political Face-Off. And these, ladies and gentlemen, these two men really do like each other. They will walk out with big smiles on their face and be chatting as they go to their respective cars. The Monday Political Face-Off is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. You can find out more about Moe's. Check it out at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. Paul Cunningham, Tucson City Councilman, what's going on with his idea to resurrect this idea of an arena in downtown Tucson? Stay with us.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Social Security's finances are being hard hit by high energy prices and an economy that's been slow to recover. The government now says the trust funds that support the program will run dry in 2033. A waitress at a Pennsylvania diner says, "We had summer in the middle of winter and now we're paying for it. A storm is bringing wintry conditions to much of the Northeast, with up to a foot of snow or more in the forecast for higher elevations in parts of Pennsylvania and western New York State." Some students and staffers have arrived at a small Christian college in Oakland, California, to resume classes for the first time since seven people were shot to death there earlier this month. Wall Street, the Dow down about 109 points. The NASDAQ is off 29. More details at srnnews.com.
To Jack, the new guy.
Why travel to Paris in search of that special antique when you have Augustus Paris Antiques right here in Tucson? Owner Roberta Fransheim specializes in selecting one-of-a-kind pieces of European antique furniture and objects of art from the 19th century to mid-20th century chic. Augustus Paris Antiques is located at 2522 East Fort Lowell, just east of the intersection of Fort Lowell and Tucson Boulevard. Augustus Paris Antiques, 289-5181.
Noble Hops Gastro Pub is for people who revere their beer and their food. Noble Hops specializes in high-quality, delicious food and offers an impressive, ever-changing selection of handcrafted beers from around the world with more than two dozen on tap. Noble Hops, a pub for foodies at the southeast corner of La Canada and Lambert in Oro Valley, and always on the web at noblehopspub.com and on Facebook.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including five major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencium and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowland Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, where it is 12:34 here in Tucson on KVOI, AM 1030, The Voice. 790-2040, 790-2040 is the Buckmaster Show live line, and perhaps now, over the next 10 to 15 minutes, you would like to add your voice to this idea that Tucson City Councilman Paul Cunningham is putting out there about resurrecting this idea of a new Tucson arena. Councilman Cunningham joins us now on the Buckmaster Show. Paul, how are you today?
Very well. How are you doing, Bill?
Doing very well. And tell me a little bit about why you think we should be talking about an arena.
Well, the big thing is that the TCC is losing a lot of money. So then you got to ask yourself, what's going to happen with the TCC? Are we going to close it down, demo it, and sell it? Are we going to try to make it into maybe a casino? Are we going to try to maybe do something with the University of Arizona that would take quite a long time to materialize? There's all these different options out there. One of the problems that our convention center is running into right now is that we don't have an adequate enough or a large enough exhibit space, and we don't have enough breakout media rooms to be competitive to attract bigger conventions. We're also in danger of losing the gem show. One of the other problems is that if we book an exhibit show in the exhibit space, a lot of times all the logistics and all the other things that go into that exhibit space, they have to use the arena. So the arena is taken up and we can't book the arena for a show. All those things aside, we also have, that's just the convention enterprise side. On the arena enterprise side, is that we can't get any top-tier acts because, one, of our acoustics, our seat layout, and also our roof is actually too low for a lot of stages to be constructed. So with those two things in mind, we have an arena enterprise and a convention enterprise that really is not competitive for markets our size. And as a result, we're being passed over by big acts and big shows on the arena side, and we're not even being considered for certain conventions and conferences on the convention space side. Moreover, because of the inadequacies of our current TCC, no one will even come close to wanting to try to build a hotel there unless they get some type of government handout, which I don't feel is appropriate. So with all those things in mind, I looked into the idea of actually building an arena. There's been a couple of proposals that have floated over the last 10 years. Both of them have had environmental impact studies, economic impact studies, have had pre-development plans, pre-development concepts. And when you go through to it, it might be more cost-effective to build a new arena and revamp the existing convention center, also converting the existing arena into additional exhibit space and taking some of the existing exhibit space and making it high-tech breakout meeting rooms that might be the way to go. And so that was the start. So then the question after that was, well, can we afford it? And I took a look at how we are subsidizing the Tucson Convention Center operation to the tune of $6 million a year from the general fund and asked, well, is it possible with the help of Rio Nuevo, some cooperation with Pima County and the MTCVB, would we be able to finance this project without the general fund ever being compromised more than $6 million a year? And in theory, the answer to that question is also yes. We can finance such a facility without the general fund being compromised, and after 10 years, that commitment to the general fund would be reduced by over 60%.
Councilman Cunningham, let me ask you that Josh Brodesky, the columnist for The Star, just ripped apart your idea in yesterday's paper. Was that kind of discouraging to you?
No, again, I think that it's really premature to make any judgment on it. I think that, you know, I think Josh is out there trying to say, well, I'm glad you're working, but, you know, this seems a little far-fetched. And if that's what he thinks, that's fine. But I just ask the public to give the situation a chance. And if it, you know, if it doesn't pan out, or the construction costs grow out of control, or the financing doesn't work, fine. You know, I don't gain anything by pushing this project. I want to come to a resolution to Rio Nuevo. I want to see the TCC work. This is the best of all the options that are out there to me. This is the only one that really can work. Otherwise, we're just going to be stuck in Rio Nuevo limbo for another 10 years. This is kind of the be-all, end-all with me. I'll walk away gracefully if people can show me how it's not the best option, but I just don't see how dismissing it summarily is. I think dismissing it summarily would be irresponsible.
How about $150 million? That's what kind of the figure has been kicked around for this downtown arena. What if you took that money and just really upgraded the TCC with the existing arena and really retrofitted it? Would that be an idea?
Yeah, I've looked at that, and I think, again, depending on how much it would cost to take the roof down and rebuild the roof so it's another 35 feet higher, how we can get luxury suites in, how we can do that, and then we still don't solve the problem of having 124,000, we're being short about 50,000 to 60,000 square feet of exhibit space to be competitive. So, yes, I've absolutely looked at that. It may come to that. My other problem with that is that if we just redo the existing facility, all we've done is gone back to 1971. And when we open the facility and we have what we had 40 years ago, and I don't know if that's really the best opportunity for us.
12:41 on the Buckmaster Show. Paul Cunningham, Tucson City Councilman, is with us. You acknowledge the city is a mess, so you're trying. What are you doing now? I guess on Cinco de Mayo, Paul Cunningham, you've put together a cleanup for the whole community or just your ward?
Yeah, just Ward 2. That's about, we're looking at 35 miles corridor road. The volunteers are going to be cleaning the sides of the roads. Then we're coordinating with city staff, some private contractors, and the traffic department to have as many medians cleaned at that time as well. Again, everyone knows that my area beautification initiatives for Tucson are something that I've really tried to be proactive about, and I thought that if people weren't going to get things done, we were going to work on that. So that's the reason behind the cleanup. I hope it's something that we don't need to call on our citizens every year to do the job of the city, but again, with the budget times being what they are and being the conditions of the medians, we just need to get a jump start so we can get caught up. One of the things that happens in government is that when you get behind because of budget cuts and you leave positions open for a couple of years and all the things we've done to try to balance the budget without laying off police, without laying off fire, without closing parks, without closing fire stations. We've tried to balance the budget, but that, as a result, we've left positions open, we've eliminated positions, we've allowed equipment to deteriorate, we haven't deployed equipment as often as we should, and therefore we have dilapidated the city to that breaking point. And now, just to catch up, it takes a lot of work. So in order to get, if we can get the community involved, just to get the work order load down a little bit so our streets technicians and some of the workers can get into a rhythm and a system where they're not catching up all the time. And I think that's one of the reasons for this. Back to the arena, again, one of the other issues that we have, and this is probably a bigger problem with the arena, is the issue of an anchor tenant. Originally, my plan was to try to have the University of Arizona play 4 games and have the Phoenix Suns play 2 games and have the Phoenix Coyotes play 2 games. It much to my chagrin, I was probably a little overly optimistic. I went to both the Suns management and the University Athletic Department, and neither of them could really commit to that type of commitment. They definitely were, you know, interested in the idea of a downtown arena and were interested in how they could be involved. But the conversation never went farther than that. And I want to set the record straight on that. I think that Mr. Brodesky alluded to the idea that I had promises from those guys and everything, and I never really did convey that to them. I told them that that's what I was looking for, but I wasn't sure if they'd say yes or no.
And I guess the UA athletic director said maybe one game.
Well, they really didn't. They said it was. I think it's a more a they'll believe it when they see it situation. I mean, if we build the arena. Yes, it's possible we could get one game. I mean, anything's possible. But we're not going to be able to build the arena with a commitment for any games, probably from any of them to start, and that can be a problem. Then you've got to start looking at anchor tenants in other areas, whether it be arena football or NBA developmental league, which is areas I really didn't want to look. But if that's what it's going to take, that's what it's going to take. And again, I'd say that. If we can bring back maybe the Fiesta Bowl basketball tournament, which was a two-game engagement for the University of Arizona basketball team, and also the Phoenix Suns used to play one exhibition game here once a year when I was a kid, and I think those are realistic things to happen. But again, I just wanted to set the record straight that I wasn't trying to misrepresent neither the Suns management or the University of Arizona Athletic Department.
Paul Cunningham with us quickly here in the final minute or so. You're so upset about this pothole situation. I understand you're being certified now to actually drive one of the machines.
Well, I applied to do it online at Caterpillar, and so I've got some emails that I got to get back. And if I can get certified, the city of Tucson does have two paving machines, and if I can get certified to drive one, I'd like to sign one out and use it.
How big a deal is it to get certified?
It's a pretty big deal. I mean, I might have to go get a road test, and I don't know. I have to find a trainer in Tucson who's certified to give me a road test, so that's another hump that I didn't anticipate. It also costs some money, and I'm not going to lay out any of my Tucson City budget money to get me certified to drive a paver. I'll use my own money, so that's kind of how all that works. But
look out, he's coming down the road.
I just want to see some of the work get done. Again, one of the things that happens is that one of the MOs that we've had as a city, and one of the, quite frankly, fair criticisms we have of the city is we get a lot of planning done and not enough doing done. And so I'm all about doing. And if it's going to take me driving it myself, then that's what it's going to take.
Okay, Paul Cunningham, thank you very much. One of our callers saying thank you, Paul, for the work you're doing. So I wanted to get that in there.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Paul Cunningham, for being with us. 12:47 now on The Buckmaster Show. Dr. Mark Sykes is coming up from the Planetary Science Institute. Stay with us on this Monday edition of Buckmaster.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. You know the benefits of soft water, right? Softer laundry, softer skin, hair, and spot-free glasses. And once you have soft water, you can't live without it. But did you know a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy compared to a time clock water softener? Now that's efficient. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener really is the world's most efficient water softener. So put it to work in your home and start saving today. It virtually ends hard water spotting throughout your entire home, from your glasses to the shower doors. In fact, it makes all your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer too, like your dishwasher and washing machine, even your water heater. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener delivers real soft water and real savings. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
With 275 acres of stunning environment, Innovation Park in Oro Valley is ready for development. Already, two of the world's largest pharmaceuticals, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, are settled in Innovation Park. Innovation Park, a great place to do business in Oro Valley, named one of the 10 best towns for families by Family Circle magazine. Find out more at innovationparkaz.com.
Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. As usual, this is another jam-packed show on Buckmaster. Dr. Mark Sykes joins us. He is the Buckmaster Show contributor on space exploration, one of two dozen contributors that contribute to our program at least once a month. Dr. Sykes is CEO and director of the Planetary Science Institute, which is celebrating its 40th year as a Tucson-based nonprofit engaged in the exploration of the solar system. Big event coming up Thursday night at the Westward Look Hotel to honor PSI. Dr. Sykes, that's going to be a fun event, and the man behind the mic right here is part of the entertainment.
Yes. Bill, it's great to be here, and we're really looking forward to you coming to our event on Thursday night to interview two of our founders after 40 years looking back on the history of solar system exploration and where we're going in the future.
It's going to be a fun evening, and this is open to the public. Anyone who is interested in space exploration, there's still time to get a ticket.
Yes, it's a dinner event. It's a fundraising event. You can go to our website at www.psi.edu and get a ticket, but you'll have to be over the next couple of days.
Yeah, because of the food service, you need to know how many dinners to have ordered. Just like when you're flying on an airline. Well, the food will be better than
airline. Much better than airline. Not to disparage airlines.
Mark, there's lots going on. There's going to be an announcement tomorrow about private enterprise mining of an asteroid. This is pretty exciting stuff. We're seeing more and more of this private enterprise stepping up now involved with space exploration.
It's a real interesting phenomenon. We've got Elon Musk's that are building launch vehicles, and at the end of this month we'll be sending a person to the space station, or at least to the vicinity of the space station. First time a private enterprise has ever done anything like that. And now we have these other companies that are starting up to take on other aspects of space activities. Tomorrow there will be a company being announced that to mine asteroids. I'm involved as an advisor to that company, and James Cameron is involved with it.
And Titanic fame.
Yes, yes. And the founder of, or the person who funded Google.
So you got some heavy hitters.
Right, right, right. And
you're involved. You can't say a lot because, you're very closely involved.
Well, I'm under a non-disclosure agreement, so there's only so much
I
can say.
Yeah, exactly. But what you can say is, and I hope you can say it, that an asteroid might be rich in things we would want to mine, correct?
Absolutely. And for a long time, I've been talking about how asteroids potentially provide things like water, which would open up potentially near-Earth space to human activity, whether it's going on to Mars or going down, returning to the surface of the moon, living and working in space. You can only bring so much from the surface of the Earth at $20,000 a pound plus. And so being able to find resources out there that you can use in space cost-effectively to expand our activities up there is of value.
What kind of material would be possibly mined from an asteroid?
Well, like I just water is the main one. You scoop up some carbonaceous stuff, you heat it up, you take the water off. There's other materials there, whether it be cost effective.
Is there gold in there here?
Well, there's gold, there's platinum group metals, there's all kinds of things in there.
It's a gold rush on an asteroid.
Yeah, it's a matter of doing the economic analysis to see what's cost effective in either returning to the Earth or using in space. And my primary interest is in using materials in space to expand our horizons in space.
We have to learn more about how humans will react in space for the long term, and that's where the space station really can provide some valuable material, because we're talking about a long journey to Mars, aren't we?
Absolutely. And actually, there's more problematics than just the journey itself, but the exposure to radiation over a very long period of time right now makes that kind of impractical. But there's some real basic questions. There's another private company that is proposing to do a gravity experiment tethered to the space station. They are in the process of trying to raise money for it, and that is to another thing I've talked about, which is running a centrifuge so that you take small mammals like rats and other creatures, and to see to what extent do they thrive in a lunar gravity or Mars gravity. Can they reproduce? Can they survive for multiple generations and be healthy? Because if we're going to be a species that lives on a world other than Earth, we need to understand whether or not that's really a possibility on the surface of Mars or the surface of the moon.
Is this kind of a gimmick, what we're hearing about NASA actually looking for suggestions about how to get to Mars on the cheap? And I took this story with kind of a grain of salt, but I guess they're serious that they are welcome to suggestions.
Well,
to a certain
I don't think there's any harm in asking,
right.
You know, because we do have a lot of very innovative and very smart people out there that are pushing in their own directions. You know, whether it's like I was talking about the SpaceX sending its own ship up to the space station, PSI's own ATSA suborbital observatory, where we're going to have our own astronauts going up to make telescopic observations in space and come down. These other companies. I think that having the way NASA normally does business, which is have committees and they come up with plans and such. Well, maybe there's somebody on the outside that's kind of cut to the chase and come up with some novel ideas. And so I think they can at least say that they asked.
Yeah, there you go. And thank you, Rosemary Brand, for this little bit of tidbit. 1923. It was 1923 today that the Stewart Observatory was formally dedicated. How about that? So a lot of history.
Yeah, I was at the Stewart Observatory for 17 years.
Were you really?
Yeah, before going over to the Planetary Science Institute. And Stewart's one of the world centers of astronomy. It's something that we in Arizona should take some real pride in.
Yeah, and some bad news for some local folks with the National Optical Astronomy Observatory. NOAO, I guess they're going to have to lay off some folks, up to 35 scientists, and support people about those budget cuts that we've been talking about.
Yeah, it's an unfortunate deal. There's also the, you know, what's the future of Kitt Peak? You know, to what extent it's going to be fully utilized or scaled back or what? And so that makes things difficult. There's a lot of attention sometimes on the biggest things, you know, biggest telescopes, you know, in the most distant locations. But there's so much absolute and cutting-edge science that could be done with smaller facilities, such as we find up in the smaller telescopes at Kitt Peak and at private universities.
Mark Sykes, thank you very much. And we do urge our Buckmaster Show listeners, come out to the event on Thursday evening at the Westward Look. If you would like to learn more, the ticket information is available at PSI for Planetary Science Institute.edu. Got it.
Great.
All right. Mark, we'll see you
much,
Thursday night at the Westward Look. Thanks.
Looking forward to it, Bill. Thank you.
Support for the Buckmaster Show comes in part from our friends at Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. Support also comes from our friends at Flowers, Rieger, and Associate Certified Public Accountants, 2919 East Broadway, and on the web at FlowersRieger.com. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. Tomorrow, we'll be talking about summer air travel. Plus, Margaret Regan will be with us, the arts editor of the Tucson Weekly, looking at the arts segment, and Shelley Fishman, certified financial planner, with the Tuesday Moneymaker Report. Have a great afternoon.
KVOI Cortero Tucson and 930 KAPR Douglas, the voice. Good News Radio Network.